KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have a thunder shower. It's 55 degrees. We picked up a quarter of an inch of rainfall overnight up until 7 a.m. today. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. We look for showers and thunderstorms through at least midday and a high around 64, winds becoming northwest at 10 to 20. Radar shows some widely scattered light to moderate showers across the listening area. The heaviest is in the western part of the state, stretching from around the just south of Pocahontas through Sac City and down into the Carroll area, and then off to the southwest, west of Harlan, down to southwest Iowa and southeastern Nebraska. There's also some cells that are just east of Greenfield, stretching from Adair County down through Madison County and into central Iowa as well. That's pushing off to the northeast this morning. In southwest Iowa news, two people from Nebraska and one person from Iowa were injured during a three-vehicle collision Friday afternoon on Highway 2 in Fremont County. The State Patrol reports that around 4:45 p.m., a 2013 Ford F-250 pickup, driven by 54-year-old Vernon Christensen of Nebraska City, Nebraska, was traveling east on Highway 2 at mile marker 1 when, for reasons unknown, he failed to slow for traffic that was stopped up ahead in a construction zone. The pickup hit the rear end of a stopped 2017 Subaru Outback, driven by 63-year-old Maureen Fowler of Lincoln, Nebraska. Her vehicle then struck the rear of a 2014 GMC Acadia, driven by 59-year-old Teresa Hopkins of Sydney, Iowa. Her SUV was pushed into the back of a 2009 Ford F-150. During the crash, the Subaru spun around and came to rest on the opposite lane of Highway 2 facing sideways. The pickup crossed the center line and struck a westbound vehicle head-on after the westbound vehicle struck the F-150. Christensen was transported by LifeNet to Bergen Mercy Hospital. Fowler was transported by Nebraska City Rescue to St. Mary's Hospital. And Hopkins was brought to the Grape Community Hospital in Hamburg by Hamburg Rescue. The accident remains under investigation. Atlantic Street Department Superintendent Kirk Knudsen said Friday afternoon that South Olive Street, which had been closed overnight Thursday and through a good part of Friday, was now open from 22nd Street to Jasper Road. And the Iowa Department of Transportation has reopened Interstate 29 between Exit 61 near Crescent and Exit 71 near Loveland. At this time, officials say I-29 is open in both directions throughout Iowa. However, motorists may encounter some occasional lane closures. Exit 66 at Honey Creek will remain closed due to flooding. And the DOT says they will continue to monitor the situation closely, but roadways may close quickly in the area due to high waters. Travelers are urged to check 511IA.org on the web or by calling 511 for the most recent closure information. Flood-related closures remain in effect on Iowa Highway 275 and 333 near Hamburg. The Iowa DNR said Friday that with one lift station pump out for repair, the city of Erling's remaining pump failed, sending untreated wastewater from the pumping station into Mosquito Creek. The city had been bypassing around 100 gallons per minute since 6 p.m. Thursday night. City staff were working with the contractor to replace the failed pump Friday and repair the other pump. In the meantime, residents should keep children, pets, and livestock out of the creek until 24 to 48 hours after the discharge officially ends. The DNR will be monitoring the cleanup and response. Well, National Fire Prevention Week takes place from tomorrow through Saturday, October 12th. The theme is Not Every Hero Wears a Cape. Plan and practice your escape. Locally, the Atlantic Fire Department will kick off activities beginning Sunday with their annual Fireman's Free Will Donation Breakfast. The event takes place at the fire station on West 7th Street or Highway 6 in Atlantic. Atlantic Fire Department Captain Tom Cappell says they're serving up some great food tomorrow.
We're having pancakes, eggs, sausage, bacon. If you're looking for breakfast on Sunday, make sure you swing out, and we can also give you a little tour of the fire station if you like, or if you have questions, great time to ask, and this is our week to promote fire prevention.
There's also juice and coffee tomorrow morning, and a fly-in by Midwest MedAir will take place sometime between 9 and 10 a.m. Your free will donation helps the fire department purchase batteries for smoke detectors and the purchase of detectors for homes that don't have them. Cabell says smoke detectors are especially important in older homes or those with additions. Those additions have spaces where electrical and other fires can smolder unnoticed unless picked up through a smoke detector's sensors. Other activities coming up this week include firefighters educating children in local schools on fire safety and the importance of functioning smoke detectors.
Teaching them, you know, the fine things about it. You know, do you know your way out? Do you know where you're supposed to meet? You know, the stop, drop, and roll. To get them thinking about it, and the big one is the batteries and the fire alarm. Smoke detectors, this is the time of the year. It's a good week to remember. change them because they don't work if the batteries are dead.
And Capel says there's fire prevention efforts this past year may have helped to reduce the number of calls for service where fires are concerned. Fire Prevention Week culminates next Saturday with the Atlantic Firemen's Parade that begins at 6 p.m.
You know, we have a lot of fun with the Firemen's Parade, and especially with all the support that we get from the local communities and other volunteer fire departments, actually in about a 60-mile radius. We try to put on a good display for people to come downtown and check out. And, you know, the kids really enjoy that. It's a fun time. We try to get some neat stuff there. Example this year, we did finally, after we've been working on it for quite a few years here, we finally got the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is going to be here this year. So that will be in our parade, and they will also be at Hy-Vee from 2 to 5, and then they will be in the parade as an entry.
Lineup for the parade participants next Saturday begins at 4 o'clock near 2nd and Sunnyside Lane, and they'll proceed to Poplar Street before turning right and south onto 6th. From there, the participants will make their way to Chestnut Street and north to 2nd Street, where the parade ends. Midwest Medair will be landing in town at around 5 p.m. next Saturday, October 12th, and there are also three well-known marching bands, bagpipes, and more. Protecting savings and assets becomes increasingly important as people age. Older adults can be attractive targets for fraudsters. Studies have suggested that older Americans lost at least $2.9 billion to financial exploitation in 2010 by a broad spectrum of perpetrators, including those they know and trust, as well as strangers. Financial education practitioners can help to prevent, recognize, and report financial exploitation. Stay Independent, Stop, Spot, and Avoid Fraud is a specialist-led workshop developed by Iowa State University Extension and Outreach that's designed to raise awareness among older adults and their caregivers on how to prevent elder financial exploitation. The Fraud Prevention Public Awareness Program has been recently updated to include new information on frauds and scams and how to prevent them. This coming Thursday, October the 10th, Stay Independent, Stop, and Avoid Fraud is coming to Harlan at the Senior Center from noon until 1 p.m. It'll be presented by ISU Extension and Outreach Family Special Finance Specialist Carol Ehlers, and the program teaches up-to-date strategies to protect financial and personal information. If you need to find out more, contact the Shelby County Extension Office at 712-755-3104. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Jean Ray Mahaffey, age 77, of Homosassa, Florida, and formerly of Atlantic, died August 21st in Florida. Graveside services for Jean Mahaffey will be today at 11 o'clock at the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Carol Knopp, age 82, of Houston, Texas, and formerly of Atlantic, died September 26th. Memorial services for Carol Knopp will be held on Thursday at 11 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. And Robert D. Garner, age 76, of Atlantic, died Thursday at his home. A celebration of life memorial service for Robert Garner is currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.